Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's guests will be celebrity hairstylist George Minella, model Debbie Dickinson, and writer Judith Casely, and a surprise guest. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be our annual Halloween party. The date is Friday, December 17th from 6 to 11 p.m. The location is Catra, 217 Bowery at Rivington. Admission is free. There'll be lots of surprises. It will be a great night, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show is a group on Facebook that contains links to previous shows as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching The Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. My good friend and producer John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. And remember, if you have any feedback, not from the microphones, but from yourself, you can text me at 917-754-4329 throughout the show, and I might read your words of wisdom. Okay. We're bringing our guests on at this present time. We have George Minella, who is the founder of a unique hairstyling system, not to mention Debbie Dickinson, who is the former and actually current, again, model, I believe. And we have Judith, who is an author. Say hello to the folks. Get me the microphone, Judith. Okay. So kind of the thread that connects all you guys, I believe, is George, right?
Yes.
So, George, how did you meet all these people?
Well, I've known Jude for quite some time. As she was a client of ours and needed some
work.
Material.
A lot of work.
Material to write off of an idea. So I invited her in to, and that was 12 years ago.
George, don't you remember the real story? I walked in because my ex-husband said that I was not a commodity because I had two children, I wasn't rich, and I was old.
If you're not a commodity, does that mean he will not exchange you?
Exactly. Well, he exchanged me, but I needed George to make me look beautiful.
But look at the commodity she is now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
She's traded on the market.
Really?
Check out these two. Are they
interesting?
Incredible.
So have you given Debbie her new look?
Yes.
Are you responsible for her career? Do you take credit for her career?
For Debbie's career, no. I don't take responsible for anybody's career but my own and a few people that
I've
trained.
So you're to blame, basically.
You could say that.
Well, okay. I take responsibility for the hair color that he did to me, and I think he did the most incredible blonde that I've had on my head in a long time.
So you enjoy being blonde?
Absolutely. I need it for my career. On top of being a model, I'm an actor, and I'm in a feature film coming up called Co-op, and I needed the most brilliant hair color. So through the grapevine, I found out about George Minella. And I was able to locate him in Jamaica Estates, and he has this amazing technique of geopalette system that's just one of these, you know, you just have to try it. I mean, I'm referring all my models' friends to him.
Now, you seem like an uptown girl, yet you traveled to Queens just to get George to work on you. Is this correct?
Because I saw a video that he did, and he just has the most incredible hair technique I've seen in many, many years. And I've been modeling and acting in this business quite a while, but let's not talk about the years, because today is today.
Ah, trying to ignore the years. Okay, I can do that. I've got a few there building up myself.
Well, New Year's coming.
So, now you're a model. What was that lifestyle like? Because that must have been pretty intense, right?
Oh, it's always fascinating. Modeling is like now, because it's changed quite a lot in the past couple of years. I started out as a wee young thing and rolled into Paris and with wide-eyed and bushy-tail and, you know, got swept into the couture fashion shows, working with the top international designers, well, Parisian designers at that point. And when I was very fascinated by looks of the models, you know, the hairdressers and the makeup artists used to create the imagery on the models. And, you know, it's always been a passion of mine to follow what happens in beauty industry from that. So that's why we're kind of like talking to George tonight and Judith here, because Judith and he are like two amazing people in this industry that I really look toward. And I just want to, you know, I want to encourage you to check out George's salon sometime, because he can cut and color at the same time.
Can you metrosexual me up a little bit?
Absolutely.
Will I have to change my tank top for this?
I think maybe. I think maybe if he gives you another color, a new look, of course.
Because I actually only wear tank tops in two colors, white and used to be white.
Basically. Used to be white. Used to be white. You know, that. You know, the 90s are coming back. You know,
are they?
That Rock October, you got it.
Well, I had Sid Bernstein on. He's 92, so that would explain that. Actually, okay.
Great,
so,
white.
So, George, my comments are often off-white, as you might see. So your concept is unique. Explain it to us. It's unusual.
Yeah, as Debbie experienced and everybody following to be, soon to be, worldwide, it will change the industry. And the concept is basically I've brought art. I've really fused the technique of art in delivering hair color and design cutting to it. And the impossibility was that you couldn't do it all at the same time. With the new tools that are available through the palette system, it could be done all simultaneously.
I read about something called the human lampshade that you created. This sounds kind of like a horror film. I saw the human centipede recently.
Actually, the lampshade was the inspiration of the palette. In such that during the 80s, believe it or not, this idea came to me in early 80s, about 83, 84. At that time, hairdressers were doing, as you can tell, I've been in hair for a long, long time. Not as long as what I look, but in any event, the 80s we were doing, making hair look like various things like basket weaves and all kinds of crazy things. So I decided to make this young model look like a standing lamp. I used her hair as a lampshade. And when I took the photographs of it and I saw the light coming through the hair, I said, this would be a great way to paint hair. Because I was tried pretty much anything with hair color. So I went back and developed a couple of prototypes, and I realized that it worked in a very big way, but I didn't know it was going to be a technique that totally fused and solved the problems of today's. So what I wound up doing was, because it was too far ahead of its time, I've had to bury it for a while.
People weren't ready to look like a lampshade yet?
Well, he's been working on this quite a long time. Yeah, it's got some legacy to it.
27, 28 years to it. And
now, did any of these scientific experiments ever go wrong? Like, I saw a Taxi episode with Ted Danson as a hairdresser, and he did some wild stuff to Elaine, and it didn't play well. Did anybody ever unhappy with what you did?
Only when I was in school.
Oh, okay.
And learning that I might have cut bangs too short, but it had nothing to do with the palette.
You didn't turn anybody into like a rooster or anything?
No, actually I did roosters, but they wanted that.
Yeah, okay. Some of the designers like that look.
Yeah, sure. Rod Stewart was a big one of that. You know.
Yeah, so speaking of which, what celebrities have you worked with? We want celebrity stories.
Yeah, well, I've done quite a few people, and because of my music background, a lot of the musicians and if you've heard of Taylor Dane and Marva Wright.
Love Will Lead Me Back or
right,
whatever.
Right, that's quite a while ago. I was hooked into the blues field, and as I went on some of the blues cruises that I played on, and then once they find out that I did hair, they'd all line up at my door, try to get me to do their hair, you know, which I did, which is Marva Wright and Rock and Doopsie and the rest of them. They all wanted to look really sharp and spiffy.
Yeah, if you can cut hair, you're a rock star.
Yeah, so, you know, we had a lot of fun, and we did a bunch of
things. Well, give me a name, someone big that you did. I need ratings.
Debbie Dickinson,
okay, that's number one. Who else?
Taylor Dane was a big
one. You did Taylor Dane? How was she to work with?
Well, Taylor Dane was great.
Was she?
That's really not her name, but I can't give you her real name.
Well, that's okay.
She was,
no one would know what that was, so we wouldn't care.
She was very easy to work for.
Okay, who else? So give me a big name.
Marva Wright was another big one. All the people in B.B. King's band actually dropped in. Ruth Brown was another big one. At that time, Ruth Brown was, you know, she was an older woman, but again, she was marvelous to work with. The Zydeco Twisters was a band that they enjoyed this year. And they would ask me, George, what is that on your lip? I says, well, that's an imperial or a soul tip. And he says, well, I want to grow one. He says, come on down. I'll fix one up for you. Don't you worry.
So you manipulated men's facial hair, basically.
Well, basically.
Did they call you after? Or?
Yeah. Actually, they invited me to go down and play with their band, and I did.
Oh, well, that's more information than we need. Okay. Judith, we don't want to leave you out because you've been quiet.
Oh, you're not leaving me out. But you do have to be careful because hairdressers are very much like psychiatrists. And I told my hairdresser before George all about my sex life, and she cut my bangs so short that that's what made me switch to George, because it was like up by my scalp.
Really?
So you have to be very careful. They keep secrets.
Well, actually, I have a degree in psychology myself and a degree in bartending, which is actually 2 degrees in psychology.
They also listen to problems, right?
Well, actually, bartending is more like psychiatry because it gives you the right to dispense medication.
Oh, that's right. You're absolutely right.
And models get to hear all the secrets, and so that we get to refer them to the psychiatrist.
Okay, well, you know, it's a big circle. We're all working together. Okay. Now, I understand that many of your books are somewhat autobiographical. Tell us about that.
Well, the problem is...
Something just fell. What happened?
You know, J.K. Rowling... And all the Harry Potter series, I realized that the reason she does so well and I don't do as well is because she has an imagination and I have no imagination. So I have to draw right from life. And that's what I do. I had 2 children, and over the years, as they had problems, toilet training or... Are we still on? Everything's falling.
We are. Things are falling, but
as
that's,
they
you know.
Have trouble as they reach their
just
adolescence.
It's exciting around here. It's just
yeah,
too
I'm
exciting.
Telling you, everything's falling.
Wherever Debbie goes, just controversy and stuff follows her. It's amazing.
I try to be more P&G than everything else. Procter
and don't be P&G on here.
So I find I kind
be
of
Procter and Gamble. Lots of drugs.
I think she's let those go. She
I let those go a long
tonight,
time
right,
ago.
Deb?
I'm drinking,
the one drinking the wine.
I'm
the
drinking the good ginger.
Drinking the wine.
So speaking autobiographically, how do these books fit into your life, Judith?
Well, for instance, when my dad was dying of Alzheimer's, I had a favorite. I loved Abraham Lincoln. When my daughter was growing up, she had Leonardo DiCaprio on her wall. I had Abraham Lincoln on my wall. So when I speak to people... When I speak to kids at schools, they all say, oh, did you grow up with Abraham Lincoln? No, I'm not that old, and their history is not that good. But I wrote about my dad because I felt that I could tell Lincoln my problems. I invented the AL Club, so I called the book Praying to AL. But then we had a problem because people thought it was about Al Gore, Praying to Al. So we switched the name to Can You Hear Me, Mr. Lincoln.
Did Al claim to also invent children's books?
No,
or no?
But no, Al.
That wasn't him.
Al's too dull, I think, for the children's book world. It's just not exciting enough. There's a lot of exciting stuff out there now.
Well, you had a book called Bully, which I glanced through briefly, and there was a character in there named Troy. I didn't see the whole story. Did he do anything bad or good?
Troy
Did people
was
beat
bad.
Me up? Or,
oh. Mr. Troy. Troy was bad.
So it's basically like real life, then?
Yes, like real life. My dad actually was a bully when he was growing up. He used to sit on a friend, and the mother came over and said, you used to be a rat, and you turned into a great big... You used to be a mouse, and you turned into a great big rat. And that's what gave me the idea to write a book about a bully. And my son's favorite pencil was broken in half, and his hat was thrown across the bus. So I gathered all those pieces of material, and then I just wrote a very autobiographical book about it.
I never touched the kid, by the way. But okay, we're going to a commercial break. We will be back with more stuff.
Hi, this is Marianne Morrison. Join me, uncensored and live, with entertaining and provocative guests from celebrities to world-renowned entrepreneurs with hot topics and hot talk. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, high-definition digital radio broadcasting to the world, only on the Chenzani Broadcasting Network. Chenzani.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Hi, this is Vino, owner and chef of Giovanna's Restaurant. You are broadcasting live from Giovanna's on Gintonic Broadcast Network. High definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back. I thought we were back. We've got all kinds of things. All hell's breaking loose. George, what are you doing? Is that your music? Will you take credit for that music? No.
Nope.
I didn't think so. Okay. But where's your shop located? Let's give the people some information in case they want to come down there for a Dickinson. Do we have a haircut named after you yet?
We have a hair color.
Is that a Dickinson, basically? Can we?
The Debbie Dickinson blonde.
Okay.
Shell.
That's acceptable.
Yeah,
she's a blonde shell.
I'll be flaunting it in this movie coming up. So
you'll be flaunting? Okay.
Yeah, I just did a reading for the stage play, and, you know, Joe Franklin was there, and he was like, you're darling. You know, I said, it's my hair color.
So it's all, you attribute it all to George, basically, your successful career.
Well, you know, you got to love what you wear on your head every day, and it's like, a hairstyle is very important. You know, it's like an accessory.
What can be done for me, George? Can I be helped?
Yes, you can. This is anyone.
What would you do to me?
What would I do?
Keep it clean.
Well, let's put it this way. It's a little dark in here right now, and I can't tell, so we got to get you into behind the mirror
the
and take a look at
that's
the,
why
the,
I stay in dark places most of the time.
That's why bars are dark, right?
That and my Romanian heritage. I am half.
Well, but George does like blondes, Andy, so you got to watch out. You could go blonder.
Right.
Uh-oh. Kelly is blonde. She's our hairstylist and hair owner in Tampa, Florida, and she's the blondest of the blondes.
Well, what's
and
your
she
little?
She does the palette.
Let's hear a little from Kelly. Kelly, what's your story?
We
want to know everything.
For George right out of school.
We want good stories. Lie if you have to. No, tell us the truth.
I worked for George right after school. I went to beauty school, started with George as an assistant for a couple of years. Learned everything I know there. Moved to Florida, opened a very successful salon. I've been there for about 10 years now. And me and George have been in contact, and I've been training and working on the palette with him for 2.5 years now.
So what's your impression of the palette? What is this palette thing
fabulous
that I'm hearing about? Well, that's an analysis of its quality, but I want to know what it is, actually.
It is a tool that lets you do the things you didn't think you could do, because it would be too time-consuming or too much work or too over-the-top, and this allows you to do it.
This is a method of hair coloring?
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us a little about it. What are you doing? What makes it different?
It's more of an art form.
It allows you to put two concurrent processes, you know, on the hair at the same time. So
this is why I have models on the show. They're very analytical.
You know, you sit in a chair millions of times getting your hair done for fashion shows. Every time you take a look out on a runway or on a photo shoot, you always have something different. So, the idea that, you know, being able to cut and color at the same time and to be able to do it in a speedy process. Normally, color takes a 4 to 8 hour process. Cutting can take another hour, another blow drying session, a curling session can take another 2 hours, depending on what you look like. And all these things, you know, add up. So
when that's over, it's time to get a new haircut.
That's right. Your hair's grown down your back of your mid back there.
Does anyone ever get out of your salon? It sounds like very long. Oh, so you actually make it shorter. It's quicker.
Yeah, it's actually quicker.
You can get rid of me in no time.
But as
Kelly,
quick as we can.
When they do it and they start with a highlight and then you switch them over to the palette, don't they love it better?
Absolutely. It's a much more natural effect. It's You can put you can put as many colors as you want in the same amount of time. It would take you hours to put in with foils.
Do people end up wanting, like, you know, rainbow colored hair a lot of times?
A lot of times, no. Are there certain people that do? Absolutely.
Actually, now the industry has caught up to the whole thing, and multicolorations is very much the in thing.
Because George has got a picture here, and it looks like a woman whose head is covered with confetti to me. What's going on with that?
Actually, that's a rendition of palleting hair, only not actually seeing the process. It's right. A conversion of it. But what the palette actually does, it diffuses the technique of art, which is creating backgrounds and landscapes and colors all into the process of hair. Hair has always been, the final product was the art, the final picture of it. What I've done was created the whole process of starting to the end as an art form. And the Roslyn Museum, National Roslyn Museum, is getting behind it and are declaring it as a new art.
Do any of the people actually have to stay in the museum then?
Well, we're trying to work an exhibit where we're bringing in a starlet.
Because I'm willing to move in if necessary, as long as I can
have
a laptop.
We've got room for you.
I'll tell you how things get in the museum.
Would you come visit me, Debbie, if I move in?
What we'll do is we'll do your hair color, and then we'll photograph you, and then maybe we can propose these photographs to the museum, and you can live there.
Debbie's going to propose. That's nice. And I only known her like an hour. It must be my new haircut.
Just kidding.
Okay. Well, now, George, what direction do you see hairstyles going? Are things changing?
Yeah, things are changing all the time. And in actuality, hair is becoming art. We're actually working on a collection of various artists like Guccione and Vermeer. We're using Picasso's cubism, and we're translating it onto the head. And we could do it now because of this particular technique. We can actually get the shapes out of it and the colors and the backgrounds and the looks, and that's what we're going to be producing.
So people can come in and order like a Mona Lisa or something?
They can come in and walk out with art on their head.
Interesting.
Yeah, really.
It's investment, huh?
So,
Think about it.
The only problem is you can't really, like, you know, save it and resell it or anything. It's kind of going to grow out.
Well, they can resell their personalities a little bit, but
you can reinvent yourself with hair all the time. Right. It changes the color.
See, what it's going to do is change the industry for the professionals, and it's going to drive clients. It's the master's degree in hair, and it's going to elevate the industry as a whole. It's going to give every professional throughout the world, which touches every human, a new way, a fun way. A new way to create commerce, education, challenge, and come out ahead.
So I'm very serious about this, George. I'm impressed.
This is a very serious thing.
I see that.
Yes, this is all about attitude. This is not about attitude that has a lot of fun.
This is why you're surrounded with blondes and me.
I'm surrounded by good-looking people. Just
and me.
Good-looking and you.
Oh, right.
Now, you can be part of it.
Andy's universe.
Okay, I like the sound of that. That could be one of Judith's new books. What do you think?
I'm looking for a new title that'll wow them.
I could wow if I was given half a chance.
All right, you come up with the title. I'll supply.
I'm going with Andy's Universe. I think that.
I like it. I think
she's a great writer.
Debbie's got something going.
Writer.
Yeah.
She's not just another pretty face.
She is. She's got the writing skills. She's been blogging lately, and
have you?
Let me tell you, she's been getting hits. Left over right.
His website,
you're getting hit on regularly? You've been blogging and you're getting hit on a lot, basically?
You know, it's like New Year's is coming, and I'm doing this amazing event on the 31st. You know,
oh, you do events,
taking
too.
Taking over a townhouse, four floors, and I'm getting dates from these blogs. I don't know who to choose yet.
You know that I'm an event promoter. That's one of my main things.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Wonderful.
Speaking of which, coming down the road a little bit, I will be co-hosting another animal rescue fundraiser with my good friend Maria Melito of Q104.3.
Oh, lovely. We should get you together with Pet Rocks. Do you know Jeff Levy, the veterinarian?
I've heard of that, but I don't think I've actually...
He just did a rock and roll fundraiser for to raise money for animal awareness. So it's it'll hook you up.
Yes, I want to be connected to animals.
My daughter would be.
Do you do any animal hairstyling?
My daughter is very big in that.
Is she really?
Yeah, one of my daughters is a twin, and she's got this poodle that's
and
got
one
a,
of your daughters
red
isn't,
mohawk.
Only one of your daughters is a twin?
No, my other daughter is a photo model, and she's moving in towards my particular industry.
Okay.
But my oldest daughter is a pet saver. She
animal
saved many
rescue.
Pets, and she's given them all to me.
Good. What do you have in your menagerie?
I had three cats and a dog.
Okay, what kind of dog are we talking?
It was a mini pincher.
Oh.
Mini pincher.
Nice.
And very hard to take care of.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a busy man.
Kind of.
And they have more hair to cut.
No, kind of like, it's like a miniature Doberman. It's about this big here.
A mini pin. They're great. Right, they're actually not related to the Doberman,
very smart.
By the way. They just
not
look
at all.
Similar.
Not at all.
Okay. Now, where is your salon located? Because I know people are going to want to check you
out. We are in the Jamaica Estates Fresh Meadows areas right next to St. John's University, about a quarter mile east of it. Of 1802 Union Turnpike.
It's called Haircraft.
Right, Haircraft Forward.
Have you had any desire to move into Manhattan with your...
Actually, I'll be moving everywhere.
Really?
Right. My technique is...
It's
going
to be hard to find you.
Kind of. But through the graces of technology, the palette and the system will go everywhere.
Debbie will figure something out.
Yeah, that's why we got her. She's great for that.
Well, you know, you can probably go on geopalette.com and follow along the progress
Absolutely.
Of this because, you know, check it out next month. You're going to see a lot of changes.
Yeah.
No,
some good ones, too.
You're offering, I saw, a free hair workshop giveaway on your website. What's the deal
with happened
that?
Is my salon has become the laboratory for the R&D of the palette. So what we've done is we've had programs before. We train. So we invite clients to come in and be worked on for free by trainees.
He's going to...
professional trainees, of course.
He's going to do my business partner's hair. She has African-American hair, beautiful shoulder-length hair, and he's going to work on her hair on the 18th, so I can't wait to see what the process does because it doesn't have any ammonia in it, doesn't have any detrimental chemicals in it that can destroy the hair that normally they use to relax hair. And it makes the hair silky, smooth, and brilliant. And so I can't wait to see what happens. And wait till you see the business we take care of in the new year here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We should have someone in
things.
Here on the show to have their hair done. That's always good on radio.
I would say in a few months, we're going to have a line out the door.
Really? Out the door of here?
Coming
That's
in
nice.
The door and out the door.
Good.
The neighborhood will be crowded with it.
We'll call it Hair Radio. How do you like that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, she's got a lot of ideas.
It's
going to
be the Palette Nation.
In your palatial estates.
Well, I'll just be there to help.
Okay. Now, we're also going to, when we come back from commercial, talk about your experiences as an underwater photographer and scuba diver, which I think you and Debbie also have in common. Is this true?
Underwater photography.
Well, no, the scuba diving, I mean.
Scuba diving?
Don't make a liar out of
it. Scuba diving, it was in the...
Certified?
A paddy diver.
There you go.
Yeah. I know. Have you ever been to Fish Hotel?
No.
It's in the Bahamas.
I've bobbed for apples a couple of times.
Oh, my God. It's only 12 feet deep, and you have to dive right through a whole cluster of groupers. You'd love it.
I drink a lot of water. Okay, we're going to go to a commercial break and come back with more hilarity.
You're listening to the Chantani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world. Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's GIAMONDO.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. check out Gia on the internet at www.giamondo.com. Gia Newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Hi there, I'm Tim McGraw. One of the great things about music is how it brings people together. Kids like to hang out, listen to music, and talk about what's hot and what's not on the music scene. And playing instruments and singing provides a way for young people to get together and interact in a cooperative and respectful way. Kids who play in school ensembles understand that every part has to work together for the result to be the magical art called music. Your local school music programs provide a golden opportunity for your child to experience the rewards of learning music. Why not pay a visit to the music teacher to find out what's going on? Get your kids involved with school music.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, Gibson Musical Instruments, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Hi, this is Tommy Pryor from the show Yorkville Stoops to Nuts. You're listening to the Centani Broadcasting Network, high definition digital radio, broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back.
Andy, help. These headphones are messing
something
up my hair.
Something happened to me, help. George, get back there. Get out your equipment.
Hey, I think I did something like that once. I put wire in a hair and it came out like that looking, you know? Out there.
Is this a look that people go for often?
Yeah, it's called a what?
It's called levitation
right
hair,
bed.
You know?
Wild.
Debbie's hair is acting up a bit. It must be windy in this restaurant. Anyway,
yeah.
So.
Are these beats?
It's like a push-up bra.
But you know... George is talking underwear. Okay. Well, anyway, so let's talk about your underwater photography and scuba diving and all that cool stuff.
Yeah. My photography started as an underwater photographer. I got into it because I loved scuba and I was shooting, and then once I came across what was under the water.
You hear there's fish and stuff under there.
A lot of stuff. I've been to a lot of great places, Grand Cayman, Little Cayman. I've been all over the Bahamas. I've been down to
every size of Cayman, basically.
All of them. And what's down there is incredible. So that prompted me to shoot. I did an experiment once. I created this mock salon underwater in a pool. I wanted the hair floating as if it was just floating out. So I positioned myself at the bottom of the pool with a camera. And I used my niece and a young lady that worked for me. I put waterproof makeup on them, had them swim down to a chair that was there, and a blower. And as the hair floated around, because when you're shooting underwater, you don't see the water. You just see what's happening. So it looked like they were just doing that, and we got these great photographs, and everything was underwater. I must have shot about 10 rolls and got about 10 good shots out of it.
An underwater salon, I think, could be popular.
If we can get them to breathe that way,
if you could see through the water in New York, you would be able to have a good business.
Well, it has to be nice and clear. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem.
Wouldn't do it in the Hudson River.
No, Sheepshead Bay might not work either.
You need to deal with all those sturgeons.
Maybe down at Grand Cayman where the visibility is 200 feet is great. Yeah. Or, Aruba or one of the other islands.
Sounds like a Beach Boys song coming. Okay, Judith. Get back near the microphone now.
Yes, sir.
What book are you proudest of? I like when you speak to me with respect.
I'm respectful. What book am I? Well, the book I'm the most, I think the book I'm fondest of is Mama Coming and Going, because when I had my two little kids and I'd walk up and down the turnpike and I'd go in and out of the stores, and then I wrote stories at my favorite bakery, nursing one muffin. And I tipped the girl $1, and I stayed there 3 hours while my daughter slept in the carriage. And I wrote so many of my books there that I dedicated.
You wrote all your books in one day?
I wrote books in that bakery. I wrote maybe 2 books a year in that bakery. It was called Cerice and Moi, and it was this wonderful bakery.
And where was this, and is it still around?
It was right near George's. I used to walk up and down the turnpike shopping, eating, and wheeling my children.
Do you write books while he's doing your hair?
No, but he did make me look better. I did manage to get more boyfriends after the divorce, so he did a very good job making me blonder and blonder.
A lot of women date more after marriage, actually,
than during marriage.
I've heard that.
Yeah, I tended to date more after marriage. Yeah.
And dating during marriage can be a little iffy. So, Judith, how do you promote your work? Because I know you've got a lot of books out there.
You know, it's a little bit more difficult now because what used to be called vanity presses are now people spending hundreds of thousands of dollars getting their own books published, and some of them, excuse me, are garbage. So I was in Barnes & Noble signing one of my legitimate books, Farrar Straus, great publisher, The Kissing Diary, and I was next to a man that was talking about this wonderful book he'd written. I think it was something like In the Golden Garden. And I was perusing the book because he had most of the people online, and in the book, the boy goes to the bathroom and it's gold. I swear to God. And I said, oh my gosh.
This the Marquis de Sade, or what is this?
It was awful.
The boy that laid the golden eggs.
Yeah, like the boy who laid, exactly. The principal of a school came in and bought three copies on the strength of this man saying it was wonderful. And it was awful. So we have a lot to, not only computer and internet.
When you say that book was crap, basically.
It was definitely
golden crap.
Golden crap, exactly. Okay. And that kind of turned me off, I have to say.
Well, we know what you don't like now, so that's good.
Yes.
Okay.
And and if you're around, your book was awful, mister, and you shouldn't have been signing books at Barnes & Noble.
Yes, get your act together. Okay, Debbie, back to you and your acting career, which we want to talk about.
Yes, darling.
What do you, you've been in a number of films. Tell us about some of them.
Well, one of my favorites was Father and Sons. I got to, you know, play, work with Jeff Goldblum, and I played his wife in that.
You were Jeff Goldblum's wife.
Yeah, well, this was a print acting role in Fathers and Son, but that it just was a memorable experience because I got to work with a really great producer, John Killick, who produced a lot of magnificent movies. He does a lot of Spike Lee movies, and he.
Can I still get this film and see you and Jeff doing stuff?
It's a print picture. I'll send you a copy. I'll autograph it too.
I want
like
it.
Ooh.
I like Jeff.
Debbie,
Jeff,
you were just in a play that you got wonderful reviews in. Right?
Yeah, I got a pretty prominent review on an off-Broadway reading that I did, and it's heading toward a Broadway production. It's called Stranger Inside, written by David Kennedy Polanco. And we have a very exciting crew that's a knit unit acting group. I don't want to reveal too much because I think the excitement is on the opening night. But David is an exquisite writer, and I love the articulation of his words. You know, I mean, I love to articulate what he writes because it's just his semantics are placed so eloquently. It's fun. It's good information to play.
You like the way the guy talks. I'm from Brooklyn.
He writes like...
Give it to him straight.
He writes
he
like
talks
no
good.
Tomorrow. He's really good.
Okay. Now...
He's the writer to watch on Broadway.
Now, you were also in a movie called Deadly Illusion. What was that about?
That was way back when.
In the old days.
I almost forgot about that one. But,
really?
Actually, that was with Scott Baio.
Scott Baio.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
From like Happy Days, I think?
Yeah, and then there was another one I love New York. It was named a couple of times. It was one of the last favorite movies of Michael J. Fox. But and then there was 15 Minutes with Kelsey Grammer, you know, I was working at the end of the film, you know, but this upcoming one, Co-op, is my most favorite because I play Jessica, who is one of the most interesting. Each character in it plays a dysfunctional part, and everybody. I don't want to reveal the dysfunctions of this particular character.
There should
character.
Be a role for me in this, I think.
Oh, absolutely. We've got to have you.
There's lots of
there.
Stuff I can't do.
But each character is significantly that dysfunction, you know, and it's prominent with each individual. So
I could be bad sense of direction.
Bad sense of direction. So which way's up?
Huh? No, actually, I have more than a bad sense of direction. I'm like an idiot savant of going the wrong way. It's like I automatically am pulled in the wrong direction.
I mean, I need magnets.
You're going to try to straighten me out somehow?
Absolutely.
With science.
It's called polarity.
She's going to straighten...
All this alternative stuff I learned as a model.
Interesting.
Multiple polarities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's very, very sophisticated. We have to spend more time getting to know about her stuff. But anyway, back to George, because we don't want him to feel neglected. He's kind of he's brought us all together here for this hour. Now, how many people have you trained in this method that you do, would you say?
Since the inception, which has been January, we've got about 30 direct, indirect.
And how?
What I've done was I've trained some trainers that have also brought up some people. Kelly happens to be one with her staff.
Okay.
And as it turns out, as we go along, as we go forward, we'll be bringing more and more in.
And how many people are in your staff, Kelly? Get closer to the microphone for this.
16 people. I have
16 people. So you're like half of his whole crew? Because you said you had 30.
No, not all of my
Well, that's not just in my salon. We've got it placed in about six salons.
How many people
right
have you
now
actually trained in total?
30.
So you've
30,
trained 30, but what does she train?
More.
She trains
She's
people from what you train.
Her staff, right.
This is like network marketing of training.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It will be an educational franchise, actually. That's the way it's going.
Interesting. And so you're in Florida? What part of Florida are we talking about?
Spring Hill. It's about 40 minutes north of Tampa.
Yes, I've actually, I drove across Alligator Alley in August with no air conditioning. What do you think of that?
I'm from Hollywood, so that's rough stuff.
I could have used George to do something with my hair after that, probably.
Alligator Alley, straight across?
Yes, you want to make sure you have gas before you go through there.
Did you stop and get barbecue?
I stopped and got alligators. No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, my God.
I do like alligators.
Amazing, amazing barbecue pits there. They have alligator tastes like chicken.
So you've eaten alligator in
Absolutely.
Your time?
Absolutely. Alligator, frog.
Turtle.
Yeah, turtle.
Turtle is great.
Delicious.
So you've eaten like frog's legs?
Oh, yeah.
The key is to not actually injure the frogs because they have to be rehabilitated after that and found jobs.
They grow legs right away.
Do they?
Yeah, it's like the octopus. They grow arms and...
Like hair.
Now, in
grows
your,
back.
Now, in your underwater activities, have there ever been any scary experiences? Because I just read in the last 2 days, four people in Egypt got attacked by sharks in two separate instances.
I couldn't believe that. Lady
you saw
lost
that?
A leg. And
yeah.
Oh, my God. It's horrible.
In actuality, sharks are coming closer to land. Since their food is being, people are becoming their menu.
I think I saw one on a beach chair with a reflector.
Yeah. I was down at Grand Cayman 1 year, and there was one particular dive that we did called the Big Tunnels. It started at about 60 feet where we go into this tunnel. We come out at about 125 feet on a wall, which is about 5,000 feet down. When you come out at that level, you sort of have this nitrogen narcosis. It feels like you've had about four martinis. I was the last one on the line, and it was about maybe seven people going through with the guide up front, and I was the last because I was the only one shooting the camera. So as I came out and the other ones went back into the tunnel, as they were going through back into the tunnel at 125 feet, they started to create a lot of silt. It was a total blackout. What happened was five of the people panicked that were in front of me. So a hand came out of the mist, grabbed me, and brought me to the front to lead them out. Because they realized that I had some experience. I looked calm and I wasn't creating. So what I knew that all the tunnels would join in one spot, and I just led them out, and we came out through the top, and we were fine. Everybody was fine.
So you basically heroically rescued dozens of underwater
Well, I wouldn't say I rescued them, but I led them to where they should be. And actually, Grand Cayman is like the playground for all the Texans.
You know, when you said before, I'm doing this real dive, I'm a musician, I know you are, the first thing I thought of is, you know, hey, we were in Florida doing this real dive.
What instrument you play, Andy?
I'm a drummer and a songwriter.
Oh, my God, George plays a guitar. You should do a band together.
Drummer and a songwriter.
We could do some hair-raising stuff.
Yeah, well, I play quite a bit of music.
And I can model it.
Love music. I miss it.
Okay. Well, are we close to a commercial there, Betty? I think Betty is, you know, we don't want to anger her because she has all the technology. So we're going to go to a commercial break, and we will be back.
Thank you.
This is John Campbell.
And this is Peter Tillum.
Listen to Law Talk every Wednesday night on the Chintani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
cent'anni. That means 100 years.
È vero, cent'anni, 100 years, Rose. And thanks to Johnny Mandolin and Cent'anni Broadcasting for letting us get you involved to remember the Triangle Factory Fire Centennial Memorial this year, 2011.
It's coming up on March 25th, 100 years ago, the fire that happened at the corner of Washington and Green, downtown Manhattan, New York City. 146 workers' lives were lost.
That's right, and mostly young girls, Rose, mostly young Italian and Jewish garment workers. Please come to our website, www.rememberthetrianglefire.org. Get involved and help us make a permanent memorial to these young garment workers and the legacy of workers' safety, immigrant rights.
We need to all remember what came from this fire. Join us March 25th, 2011.
Join Workers United and the Fire Coalition. www.rememberthetrianglefire.org.
I'm Janice Ian. Do you remember how excited you were at the start of summer every year and how the summer just started to drag on after a few months and you couldn't wait to get back to school, see your old friends, make new friends, get new books and a new locker and a clean slate? Well, you should have been excited about music class too, because that was a special room where you went to sing, perform with your friends, and learn all kinds of interesting stuff about great composers, instruments, different kinds of music and songs. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped to spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them, and make sure they get involved with music in school and in their lives.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
You are listening to the Cent'anni Broadcasting Network. C-E-N-T-A-N-N-I broadcasting.com in high definition digital stereo.
Okay, we're back. So George, being both a photographer and a hairstylist, must be a great way to document your work. How much of a help has that been to you?
It's been great. It's the only way to do it. As it turns out, I've increased my equipment and the studio and actually turned it as much as I can into a photo studio as I could. It's the only way to document it. We document it through video, live, you know, video and still shots.
Okay.
So we got all of it running at the same time. Actually, my son has become part of that, too. He went into videography as well, too.
Is he cutting hair? Or
well, he... actually, he wants to because he sees where the palette is going to head, and he wants to be on the inside also as well.
He wants to be on the inside of the palette.
Right. Doing
interesting.
It. Yeah.
Okay. So, Judith, most recent book, what do you have and what are you working on? Give us something to, some information on you.
I'm actually, the one thing that I've noticed about George is he has a lot of courage and is unafraid to explore. So I started doing mosaics, and I decided I wanted to do the only book of mosaics. So I did a book about a little mouse that gets lost, and when you go to the salon...
Well, that would be me.
From Sheepshead Bay, right?
Lost is me.
Well, this little mouse gets lost, so all over the salon are pictures of cats and dogs and mice in mosaics, and now I'm really branching out. And I think I would have been afraid to have done it without watching George be brave and just, he's just a revolutionary when it comes to hair and color and paint, and it really does work hand in hand. And there's theater at salons. There are just all sorts of dramatic events happening at salons, and that's the best fodder for writing books.
Now,
so I sit there and I listen to everybody and I write everything down.
So how often do you ladies get your hair done? Might be interesting to people.
Every day.
Every day?
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
Not by George.
Well, you know, I'm on a regular basis, I'm at the hair salon. But,
how often
but
would you
I
say?
Have to do my hair every day for professional reasons.
Yeah, but how often do you actually have someone do your hair?
Hmm. every working day I'm in the studio, every working day of that job. You know,
okay, well, I guess you're a little
sporadically,
different.
But every day I have to do my own hair, and I have to make sure it's in tip-top shape exactly like the hairdresser has taught me over the gazillion hairdos that they've done on my head. So I'd say, you know, it's... Models become hairdressers after a while. They kind of emulate the big stars who they work with because, you know, why not take carry on from the best?
And Judith, what about you?
For me, since I'm sitting at the front desk and I'm the person that people see when they come in the door, I make someone do my hair. I'll go up and I'll say, Nicole, do my hair, because I look like a frizzball. George will say, you look horrible. Get your hair done. So it's wonderful. It's one of the perks of working in a salon.
So, Judith, you're lucky because my dad used to call my mom fuzzy, so you're in good shape.
Well, I do look fuzzy. I look broom-like until they do it.
Someone just wrote in, do you only do color or do you do Japanese straightening?
We do everything. Actually, I developed a new technique which will replace Japanese hair straightening.
What do you think of the Japanese hair straightening? Because I've heard it can be damaging sometimes.
Yes, it can be damaging. It's caustic. What we've done was we've created this triple tier system, which will be for ethnic curly and black hair, to create beautiful looking hair all in one day with color, with conditioning. And that was all due to a man called Hank Schwartz, who is part of the project. He was Muhammad Ali's former promoter and brought boxing into the
theaters. Hank Schwartz from the projects.
From the projects.
Okay. So, but the Japanese straightening, how often can that be done? Because I've gotten heard all different.
Yeah, Japanese straightening, you have to be very careful of it because it can, when you repeat it, it can damage the hair. A lot of people have gotten damaged from it.
How often is good for that, if that's what you do?
It's not how often. It's how you do it, how it's implemented, how it's done to the hair. It's very, you need to be exacting with it.
Because I do like straight hair on a woman. It's going to be nice.
Well, yes. You know, you like beautiful hair, not just straight. As long as it looks beautiful, healthy, shiny, and
I like
vibrant.
Women to be straight and beautiful. That is true.
Straight,
yeah, the whole
beautiful.
Idea is healthy conditioning, you know, and this process that he has, that, it, you know, it really, really nourishes the hair. After so much that I've done with my hair over the years of working in the industry, you know, it can, after a while, feel very, very fried from the techniques and the just overusage of hair product and hair dryers.
Somebody, but an important question, George. Someone just wrote in, are appointments hard to get with you?
No, they're
just
not.
Just call me up. I'll give you an appointment. We'll fit you in.
So Judith will hook you up.
718-591-7944. Give me a call. Jude, I'll give you an appointment.
So you are working
beautiful
the front desk.
Hair. Yep. Absolutely beautiful hair.
She's been great. She's been a wonder at the front desk. She has explained what we've done. Because we're breaking ground with the palette, she chose to be part of that whole thing and put her expertise in writing as well.
You have a writer and a photographer. It's a pretty good combination.
Quite a bit.
You have an artist in there too.
There's artists.
You have a mime working with you.
But Debbie, it's a fun place, right? You come in, we wine and dine you. We want to pamper you.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you're there long enough,
you
know.
Get it for you.
But basically,
get me drunk.
I have not had such lovely experience of being in George's salon. You know, it's you're totally pampered.
All right, we want contact information from everyone because we're running out of time. George.
Yes, the best way to see it would be at geopalette.com, and you could call the salon at Haircraft, and we are on Facebook as Geopalette and Haircraft Forward and George Manella and the Geopalette Hair System. So we're all over the place. All you need to remember is the Geopalette.
Okay, Judith, if people want to get your
books.
We have like 40 books now, right?
Yeah, a lot of books out there.
Great books.
Website is www.judithcaseley.com. And lots of books at Green Willow Books.
Green Willow Books.
For our Strauss.
And Debbie, we know people are going to want to rely on you for all sorts of information after the show because you seem very knowledgeable.
Well, I have a marketing company called ED Enterprises, and we do special events. We have a major event coming up for New Year's Eve, you know, with the grand opening of the Nexus Townhouse is going to attract a lot of celebrities and a lot of press. I'm very excited to introduce George and Judith there and a lot of wonderful clients that I'm working with right now. And you can reach me on edenterprises@rcn.com.
Okay.
There you go.
We've had a great time with our
Thank
guest
you,
today.
Andy.
We will be back next week with Dr. Elmo of Grandma's Workout Run Over by a Reindeer fame.
Thank
Another
you, Andy.
Another Christmassy stuff, but for now, we're
Merry
gone.
Christmas.
When it comes to providing guide dogs for people who are blind or visually impaired, one national organization is taking the lead. The Guide Dog Foundation breeds and trains Labradors and Golden Retrievers to help blind and visually impaired people increase their mobility and independence. The foundation provides transportation to its New York campus, the guide dog, a comprehensive training program, and a lifetime of aftercare services, all free of charge. The benefits to training with a guide dog at the Guide Dog Foundation in Smithtown, New York are many. Among them are small class sizes for personalized attention, a long history of excellence in dog breeding, and a highly skilled professional training staff. The foundation offers a comfortable environment and diverse training areas from country walks to city subways. If you or someone you know could benefit from the foundation's free services, call 800-548-4337.
You want to know which teacher your kids are most likely to choose as a role model this year in school? I'm Donnie Osmond, and it's the person who teaches them about music. Not sports, or English, or history. Music. Are you surprised? Well, you shouldn't be, because music teachers have always played an important role in the lives of their students. They help our kids tap into their natural creativity. They teach them about cooperation and self-discipline. It's a bonus that when kids have learned about scales and clefs, they find math and English concepts easier to grasp. That's because of how music education expands a young person's spatial IQ. Reading poetry or solving an equation is easier if kids know their sharps and flats, and that's a fact. Help your kids get to know their music teacher at school. Get them involved in music this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.